And to get what our identity is, we go to all sorts of avenues to find out who we are. Some people, and there's nothing wrong with this, some people go to Ancestry.com or 23andMe to find out what your family tree is or what your past is, and that's your identity. And that's good. It's good to know our past. Some people go to personality assessments or online tools to find out a way to discover who you are so you can relate to others. That's good. It helps in the workplace for sure. But the greatest gift that can speak to what our identity is left on the sidelines. The scriptures, sola scriptura. The Bible speaks about who we are. Jesus used the scriptures. You know, what's interesting about Jesus is we have a description of how he used the scriptures in his confirmation years, in his middle school years. There's one story about this in Luke's gospel. And what we discover is that Jesus regularly went to the synagogue to hear the scriptures. And he did it not to check a box so that he could make it through confirmation. Jesus went to memorize the scriptures and to let them navigate him in his own journey, in his own walk. Tim Keller, a great preacher. I know some of us listen to Tim Keller. Dave's a big Tim Keller fan, a great preacher, Presbyterian minister. Tim Keller did a study of Jesus' speakings and his times in the Gospels when he directly speaks to people. He discovered there are 1,800 verses in which Jesus speaks directly to people. If you pick up a Bible, this is the red letter part of the Bible where Jesus speaks. So there's 1,800 verses in which Jesus speaks. 180 of them are nothing more than memorizations of Old Testament scriptures. 10% of what our Lord Jesus says is actually from the Old Testament, the law and the prophets. I wish 10% of what I said was from the scriptures. Don't you wish 10% of what you said was from the scriptures? How much of a better place we'd live in if that was the case? Furthermore, when Jesus was dead and he was raised again, he had a moment to connect with his disciples. They were locked in. They were filled with fear. Jesus had a moment to comfort them. And it was just a few moments. Jesus had been raised, and there he is with his disciples. What would Jesus talk to them about? Boy, if I were writing the Gospels, I would have Jesus give the explanation of why Stonehenge is the way that it is. That's not there. He doesn't take time to talk about Stonehenge. Not that. If I were writing the Gospels, I would have Jesus explain what heaven looks like. Don't you think that's good information? Well, what the clouds are and the angels, nothing. He doesn't take time to talk about that. If I were writing the Gospels, I'd have Jesus give the exact day in which he'd come again. That's good information. No, you know what Jesus does? He directs his disciples to the law and the prophets. He opens the book up, he says, and he explains. He points them back to the scriptures in that critical moment. Sola scriptura. It's not Martin Luther. It's Jesus Christ. From the scriptures, we get our identity. Let's just pause for a moment. You can do this on your own, but let's just pause for a moment, just 2 minutes here, and just go through the scriptures and find out some things that the Bible says about who we are. Glean a couple of these. How about John 1, verse 3? By him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that was made. That means that we were intentionally made, that you were fearfully and creatively made. Each person is unique. Doesn't that make you feel good that you were made intentionally by the Creator? John chapter 1, verse 3, it's right there. How about this? It's good to know that we're made, but I want to know that I'm loved. Oh, John 3, 16. How does it go? I forgot. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal. You've read that before? Really? Okay. You're loved deeply, and we know that we're loved because he was willing to give up his prized possession so that you could be drawn close. Okay, so it's nice that we're loved, but could we have a great position? You have a great position. How about this one? 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Oh, what love the Father has lavished onto us, that we can be called his children, and that is what we are. You're God's children. You are sons and daughters. There's no better identity than that. You're brought into the family. But then you might say, boy, I want purpose for living. I'm tired. I need something to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. We are co-workers in God's service. LWML, what we do at church is not temporal. Ladies, what you do is eternal. The things that you do are eternal. They last forever. The temporal things, they fade away. We serve because we're about eternal things. Now we pause and we wonder, well, I want to hear more about the eternal things. What about, and maybe the certainty that I have eternal things. How about 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4? And there it says, in his mercy, he gave us new birth into a living hope, into an inheritance that does not perish and does not fade away. The gifts that God gives you will never perish, will never fade away. Well, the things that we focus on this earth, they're going away. But you have something coming that's better than any other. Now, I just picked 5 verses there, just went through the New Testament. Dear friends, you probably have one that speaks to your heart, but you see what this is about? Our longings, our deepest desires and longings are not found in what we choose. They're found in God's word that speaks to us, and they're satisfied in how God defines us.